One. Welcome back, listeners of Siouxland Catholic Radio. I'm Joanne Fox. I am your host for Faith in Action today, and it's certainly a show that demonstrates one's faith in action. On the phone with me from Algona, Iowa, is Marv Chickering, and he is on the committee that oversees the nativity scene that was created by individuals, the prisoner of war camp that was near Algona in 1944. And it was really Edward Kybe, who was an architect in his private life and a non-commissioned officer in the German army, when he was sent to Algona in the fall of 1944. And at that time, he had decided he was going to just make a nativity scene so, you know, people would feel like they weren't so alone without their families at the holidays. And it was so successful that the camp commander, Arthur Lobdell, viewed the set and was so impressed, and they decided to consider building a larger nativity scene. And Marv talked about how that was funded by the prisoners, and work began in January 1945, and by Christmas, the whole kit and caboodle was pretty much done. These are one half life-size figures. There are 65 of them. Lots of detail, highly realistic. Infant Jesus, of course, is the center of the whole thing. You got Jesus, you got Joseph, you got Mary, you got the shepherds, we got the angels, the wise men. We got sheep all over the place, and it's just astonishing, really, listeners. And so the project was all done, ready to display Christmas 1945, and it was set up at the camp. And Marv, maybe explain to the listeners, because quite frankly, there is no more camp. And this nativity scene was moved to the Kossuth County Fairgrounds. And so explain to the listeners, you know, how, you know, at the end of the war, now what's going to happen? It's got this wonderful scene, but what are we going to do with it?
Yes, for sure. And I'll just go back to that Christmas Eve of 45 when it was unveiled, because it was such a precious, precious time. So I will begin there and then go forward. The there were prisoners there that Christmas Eve in attendance, and there were the military men there, and people from the community were also invited to come. And it was then unveiled at a church service at the camp. And there were Catholic services every Sunday morning for 40% of the prisoners, and 40% were Protestant in a service for them as well. And the other 20% were Nazis, unfortunately. And so when it was unveiled at that church service, the Christmas carols were sung in German in English together, to not a dry eye in the house. And I had a visitor a number of years ago that shared this precious story with me, which was like, oh my gosh. She stepped forward after we talked about that Christmas Eve service, and she said, I was there as a four-year-old. Because she and her family lived right across the street from the fairgrounds, and Camp Commander Lobdell and his wife lived around the corner a few houses, and the two families had become friends. So they were invited, her family, to come out with them, and they were introduced to Kybe, the German prisoner. And they encouraged him to sit, encouraged her to sit on his lap. And she was very frightened as a four-year-old, but finally she did. And years later, her mother shared with her the story when she was old enough that while she was seated there, he was crying his eyes out. Kybe was thinking of his own daughter back in Germany. And I said, ma'am, don't do that to me. Because I thought, gee, how precious is that? And there was a rural minister in attendance that evening, and he gave this account in short-term sentence. Our bodies were cold, but our hearts were warm as toast because of what happened there that night. And Algona fell in love with the scene and asked if it could stay. And, of course, they had no way of taking it home. And so the prisoner said on the condition that it be displayed during the Christmas season, that there never be an admission charge, and that it never leave Algona. So those were the conditions that were set at that time. And we ran across a document recently showing that from December 25th till mid-February, when the camp closed, there were visitors there of over 3,000 people during that time frame. And it has been a source in our community for people to go, and so many people come every Christmas. It's not Christmas unless they have come.
It is
and
not.
So it was moved then, and the prisoners helped then in February move it to an old beater barn on the east side of the fairgrounds. And later in 63, the new building was built, which isn't new anymore, and the display room to the east was added in 94. And anyway, to continue, and I'd like to use this little trilogy in terms of small world stuff. In November of 14, I had rotator cuff surgery by a surgeon in Mason City. And in December that year, I was at the museum hosting, because I'm a member of that committee as well. And a lady from Clear Lake came in to visit and said, "I have a story to share." And I said, "Have at it." And she said, "Well, some of her family lived in California during the war, and they lived near a POW camp, German POW camp, and some of the prisoners worked on the farm for the family. And when the war ended, those prisoners went home, and one of them contacted their family and asked if they'd sponsor him to come back and become an American citizen, which they did. And one of his sons is a surgeon in Mason City who fixed my shoulder."
Oh, gosh, that's a God wink.
And then when we learned about Dr. Knoll, I typed up a news release and took it to our newspaper. I introduced myself. I didn't know the lady behind the counter. I introduced myself with the nativity. She said, "I want to see that sometime." They hadn't been in town long. I said, "That's doable." So I started telling her about the surgeon that fixed my shoulder, and she stopped me and said, "That surgeon is my brother."
Oh, my.
So back to Camp Algona. When the camp closed, the government simply declared all of these base camps as surplus. So the auctions were held, and people could come and buy cheap building materials, etc., and take them home with them and use them for whatever. And in a few short months of those auctions away, basically the buildings disappeared. And let me share some other great news that is happening as I speak, because the Camp Algona POW Museum Committee has had a dream for years that it be declared an historical site. And that site is presently being erected out at the airport, a little over a mile west of town on Highway 18. And the signs will be along the highway, historical site. So that dream is coming to fruition as well. And the museum is an awesome place to visit, with exhibits galore, with paintings by prisoners, because the prisoners, according to the Geneva Convention, were encouraged to have something positive to do with their free time. And there are two touchscreen TVs that you can access to bring up the four segments of Camp Algona and the nativity scene with that touchscreen technology. And another touchscreen is paying tribute to the 2,600 men and women from our county who served in World War II. You can simply touch one of the letters of the alphabet, and you'll find that relative or friend who willingly served. Another small room is very, very, very interesting because 29 men from our county were prisoners of war of the Japanese and the Germans. And that little room at the museum pays tribute to those men. And a book has been authored entitled 13,000 Nights. And those men were incarcerated for over 13,000 nights. And each one of their individual stories is told in the book. And that's just one of the books that is available for sale at the museum on different segments and wonderful stories of the war. And I would like to share this personal story of a elderly lady here in town who experienced the prisoners on her dad's farm over near where they lived, over near West Bend. And Jean shares this story, and I think it is as precious as any. She simply said that as a 12-year-old, she remembered her dad bringing the prisoners to the farm, and when they unloaded, the guard would hand one of the prisoners the rifle while he dismounted to make sure it didn't discharge.
Oh, my.
And the prisoner would hand it back to him. And then he would walk over to the nearest shade tree, brought the rifle against the shade tree, and sit down on the ground leaning against the shade tree and take a nap. And this behavior was very, very common in many of the books that I have read. And his wife was informed she needed to cook the noon meal for the prisoners, and she was not real happy about this, but finally relented and said, "Okay, but I won't use my good dishes."
Fascinating. So,
and she, Jean shared that she witnessed one of the prisoners when he'd eaten his fill, sitting there pounding on his stomach to create more room to eat more. And one of those prisoners and her dad became quite close because her dad could speak German. And as the war wound down, her dad said to that POW, "Now, if you have problems and you can't get anything or you're hurting, let me know. We'll send a care package." And years later, when her family visited that former PW in Germany, the former PW told her dad the story. And when that package arrived, they walked to an entrance of the store and tore it open. And on top was the chocolate bar. Mm-hmm. And his wife devoured it. She was pregnant, and she devoured it immediately. And there were visits by the former PW and his wife back to the couple here and vice versa over the years. So they became lifelong friends, just like happened for so many of the prisoners and the locals.
And I imagine the listeners are so intrigued now that they want to jump in their cars and drive to Algona and see the nativity scene and hear some of these wonderful stories. So, Marv, share with the listeners the hours, which will start December 1st. What are they and what days and times that the nativity scene will be open?
Yes, I will happily do that. And in December, for Christmas Day and Sundays, the hours are 12 till 8 p.m. The other days of the week, Monday through Saturday, the hours are 2 until 8 p.m. And I must add that we are open by special appointment the rest of the year. And so those things can happen. In fact, I have one guest coming tomorrow from over in the Remsen area, bringing his father. So that's just one example that it is available by special appointment also.
And one of the things you mentioned was with the you close for the season December 31st at 6 p.m. And you shared with me a story of one of those New Year's Eve where you were still there and you had some late visitors.
The top of the list of precious, certainly. Yes, and I was lonely, and I was out in the display room, and I always closed because I need to reset the thermostat. And in walked a great-grandfather from our community, and he is 90-plus now, and this happened years ago. And he was a World War II vet, and with him were two of his great-granddaughters. I guess them at 10 and 7. And he started sharing World War II stories with me, which I found very interesting. But the girls, I could tell by their body language, were not enamored. So I turned to them and I said, "Girls, why don't you go in and count the sheep? Just don't go to sleep." And after a while, they came out and I asked the 10-year-old, "How many are there?" And she said, "Well, there are 32. And at that time, there were 31. So I asked her how she got 32, and she said, "Well, there are 30 adult sheep. There is the lamb in that shepherd's arms, and there's the Christ child, the Lamb of God." And all I could utter was amen, thinking from the mouths of babes.
Truly, from the mouths of babes, amen.
And I might add one other thing. I don't know how much time we have. But back in 08 and 09, and up to that point in time, the nativity scene was very plain Jane, just like when it was moved there from the first building in 1963. Sorry. And a gentleman came to us and said, at an Algona native, and he wanted to enhance the scene. And our committee said, okay. And so the beam, and it's hard to describe this without being there, but the beam that runs across the length of the building was raised by 4 feet to give a better view of the heavens, and new lights and sound systems were added. And the old ceiling, which is made of plywood, built in 63, was not pretty, so it was replaced. The figures had to be moved out to the display room to create room for all of these things to happen. And the 400 or 500 pound camels, we put tarps over, and the stable, we put a tarp over it and prayed nothing happened, and nothing did. And so those things were done, and the short wall in front of the exhibit was torn out. It was cement and fairly tall, but now it is cement blocks. Limestone chunks were added. The old base was dirt and sand, which was ugly. That was removed, and a river rock was brought in. A short wall was placed over in front of the mural. In 1968, Kaib and his family was invited to come to Algona at Algona's expense, and there was a grand banquet for him and his wife and 2 children, and the camp commander was there as well. And it was just a wonderful celebration of 2 weeks, and they stayed in private homes. And while he was there, he painted the mural of Bethlehem on the back wall, and the cement blocks were then placed in front of that mural as well. And then the waterfall was added over on the east end, and the flooring had to be removed to get the bladder in. And underneath the flooring were 5 surprises. 5 sheep had all lost a leg and were buried under the flooring. And so one of our committee members took them home, put wooden legs back on them, but didn't feel good about putting the cement around the wooden legs. So that handicapped section with 5 wooden legs is over behind the wise men toward the west end. So our sheep count's going to 36 now, officially.
Officially. Oh, my gosh. Ed, this is just astonishing. And, Marv, I am so glad that you were able to take time out of your busy schedule to talk to me and our listeners about this remarkable nativity scene in Algona, Iowa. And again, listeners, if you've got a pen, paper, pencil, your phone, your laptop, this is the nativity scene that was created by the individuals who were at the prisoner of war camp near Algona in 1944 during World War II. And the brains behind it, Edward Kybe, he was an architect in private life and was sent to Algona in the fall of 1944 and started with a smaller nativity set. And the camp commander, Arthur Lobdell, was so impressed that they took it to the next level. And so January 1945, Kybe and his friends worked many hours and created 65 one-half life-size figures. Many finished with hand carving in the plaster, lots of intricate detail, highly realistic. Everybody associated with the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ is in that beautiful nativity scene. The project was finished, ready for display Christmas 1945. And, of course, when the war was over, the government, pretty much razed the camp, which is located on the outskirts of Algona. And as my guest, Marv, explained, that has now been designated a historical site. So if you get up to Algona, you can wander out there and see the markers that talk about that. But it's the Men's Club of Algona First United Methodist Church that have been caretakers of the nativity scene since December 1958. And they have been the ones that have been responsible for contributing to the upkeep and the enhancement of it all, and all of those 36 sheep, and then if we count our Lamb of God, 37. And it's, again, the hours, if you want to visit this, starting December 1, noon to 8 p.m. on Sundays, and it's open Christmas Day, too, noon to 8 p.m., then Monday through Saturday, it is 2 until 8 p.m., and then they close for the season December 31st at 6 p.m., and that was the lovely story that Marv told us about the young girl who counted our Lord as the last lamb. Now, if none of that works out for you, Marv is kind enough to do private tours, which he did for me and my friends, and that's how we found out about this. And so you can contact him via email at imchick, C-H-I-C-K, at netamumail, netamumail.com. And there's also a website, which is algonanativityscene.com.
Not to interrupt, and that is basically a nothing website.
Okay.
I would ask, I would insert, and I left this out before, and I need to insert two things. Number one, if you want to learn about the story completely, then simply in the search box, type in POW Camp Algona, and you can get all kinds of information about the museum, the nativity scene. You can see a clip of the nativity scene. And I must also, I neglected to mention the hours at the museum. And it is open 1 to 4 on weekends and by special appointment as well. And there's information on that website which can help you access that. And one other little thing, it is no longer the men's club of the Methodist Church that dissolved at least 20 years ago. So it is our First United Methodist Church, Algona, Iowa.
Okay, because I was reading off of a brochure that I had grabbed.
Sure, yes.
And things change. And then the last thing we got to bring to the listeners' attention is that October 31st, a movie called Silent Night in Algona is going to be filmed. And that will be ready for release in theaters fall of 2022. So I want to thank so much from the bottom of my heart, because I believe we are both blessed beyond belief. Marv Chickering, who is associated with the nativity scene that was created by prisoners of war in Algona, Iowa. Thank you so much, Marv, for taking the time to share with our listeners this absolutely remarkable story.
Well, thank you very much, and I've enjoyed it as much as you have. Thank you for your coverage, and Merry Christmas. Well, Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to all.
To all, and to all a good night. Well, that wraps up today's broadcast of Faith in Action, listeners. Again, this show is locally produced by Siouxland Catholic Radio. It airs every Monday at 9 a.m., replays every Saturday at 7 p.m., and you can find previous shows at fhcradio.com. You click on Listen Live and Podcasts, and there it is. And so on behalf of the producer of this show, Ann Reed, and myself, I want to remind you a faithful reaction can be good. But, oh, faith in action is so much better. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.